Conscious Living, Empower Radio. Imagine that. Hi there. Hope you're having a good time, good day, good place, good moment, wherever you are. Thank you for listening. I'm really, 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 really thankful that you're listening, okay? I really appreciate it. So if you just tuned in for the first time, or if this is the umpteenth time, or if you didn't catch it the first time around and wanted to go back and repeat, thanks. Some of these things that I talk about here, it's hard for me to keep track of because the show's been going on, what, 8 or 9 years. And so if I've covered the topic already, hopefully it'll be a new and novel way if I repeat something. But just keep that in mind as we talk about some of these things, because it's when I'm just doing a free flow, as this show is going to be, there's a lot that comes into play. Usually it's something that might be a repeat of, this is why it's called to mind, because something in the current landscape is saying that it's important to address this, or there's a new aspect. I did an interview recently with Brent Rains from Alternate Perceptions magazine. Check it out if you haven't. But as I'm doing the interview, I'm remembering specifically a year and a date. I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's it. And it was a year off. So annoying. That's that human factor. Okay. So occasionally, if you do hear something like that and it's a mistake or a misstep, I'm human. Part of that, I remember when I first started learning to channel, they said, you're going to be a little bit more spacey. I thought, oh yeah, that's helpful. A more spacey. So, but some of that also is to allow that a lot of this stuff, when you are intuitive, sensitive, psychic, you're picking up on stuff, you have to keep it open. You can't do the linear thing, because a lot of this information comes in a way that is a little bit abstract. And so you really have to let go of some of the finer points, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It will come in like 1, 8, 24, 2. And you have to be willing to allow that. So getting out of my linear construct, the little box, was going to happen whether I liked it or not. And occasionally that's where it comes back to bite me, when I have to figure out, oh yeah, oops, I'm a year off. So in that way, I went back to when I first started learning to channel, when I first encountered the night lights in 1997, and that kind of gave me a redirect for my whole life. People have these near-death experiences, and it kind of just erases everything that they thought from the beginning and puts in a whole new program, and your life changes and you go forward. This is what happened, very, very similar, what happened to me when the night light activity started. And I went back and redirected and reconfigured my version, my concept, my awareness, my impression, my way of dealing with reality. And it took a while. At least they say it takes 10 years. to integrate a program that is so incredibly different from what you're used to. But it also gave me the freedom not to be stuck in an old paradigm, in an old way of seeing the world. And at that time, it was a lot easier to say, I don't believe this, or let me try this. And I got downloads of information and directions to go a certain way, and to research and to read and to explore. And so I did. And in that way, it gave me a better frame of reference and a better understanding for different ideologies and different ways of thinking. And when you grow up in a certain area, a certain background, a certain environment or social group, it's very helpful to expand and to move and to travel and to explore other ways, other places, other ideas, because it gives you a broader base for becoming a little bit more, I think, compassionate about what other people are experiencing and going through. And when I first started doing readings, I remember the guide saying, you're going to have to pursue this. And yes, it's like a conversation. You're going to have to pursue this and trust. And so recently I'm revisiting some of my material that I wrote earlier and some of the stuff that I was going through. And before I did that, I got 3 words. These are similar to the words that I got: strength, courage, and the other one that I overlooked a lot is patience. But the reason is because a lot of this, when you get the information, it will not always make sense. There are two readings. I've been doing the Ghost of Weston again. I do that every year. It's fun. I love doing it, but it also is a little demanding, and sometimes I get drained because it depends on who shows up. It depends on the ghosts that are there, that kind of stuff. But sometimes it can be draining. And so I was looking at some dowsing information to try and remember, okay, I have to remember to do the psychic self-defense. I have to remember to boost my energy, to amp up before I do some of these things or work with people, because that's part of it. You bring the energy through and it kind of upgrades your vibration and helps you be a clearer channel for one thing. You block some of the flotsam. But as I'm doing that, I'm picking up on old information and remembering when I first got started, the guide said, you have to be very clear. If you get a piece of information, pursue it and don't expect that you will get an answer. Don't expect that your information will be validated or confirmed by the client. Well, okay. In other words, you're not going to get proof. Occasionally, you're not going to get proof because it's not about you. That is really tough when you have a linear way of looking at things and you always want proof. Show me proof that my information was right, that I had the right intuition with something. So I'm going to give you an example of why that's important and how that plays out. I did a reading. And this was at a local, very close to where I live, area facility. And there were probably between 8 and 12 people in the group. Not a big group. And the person in front of me had lost her companion. And it was just a general read, and it was information that was coming through. And it was one of the first times that I did a group like that. I had been working for at least 3 years, making sure that my ability to channel was tuned. And for me, that meant the first year working to hear it, the second year working one-on-one to feel the difference between male and female energy, and the third year working with groups. And the graduation was working and doing a presentation for about 80 people, a larger group. And I was told ahead of time for some of these, you know, that there would be a certain person here that would need this information. So just, you know, don't worry about it. The person who needs the information will be there. You'll give it to them. And the bigger group won't even know because it's not about them. It's the person who shows up who wouldn't be there unless all these other people came along for the ride. So the information I had was, does the name Priscilla mean anything to you? Then I asked this woman. And she's like, no. Mm-mm. Okay. So I'm getting other information. So I continue and give her the other information. And my guides are like, again. So I say, and I'm trying to be, just, you know, repeat. Are you sure this name Priscilla, there's no reference, you don't have any connection to the name? No. Mm-mm. And she seems to be pretty sure, and you know, that's a no. And usually if you're not in retail enough on that, no is a no, and to be respectful, you move on. But when you're doing a reading and you have guides, and they're saying, Priscilla, like, dang it. And for me, that's just a total different rep. I do not use the name Priscilla. I don't know anybody, at least in recent history, named Priscilla. This is like the one person in my whole lifetime that I've really come up to close and personal contact named Priscilla. So I get the prompt, and the guides say, ask. And this is in front of other people. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going down for the count. I will do this. And I say, I need you to clarify something for me. I'm trying to be very respectful because I know she's grieving. And I know that this can be uncomfortable. And I know I might have misinterpreted. And so I say, there is no one that you know of or you've had contact with or that would make any sense for the name Priscilla to be coming up. There's no one and nothing related to the name Priscilla that affects you. And her reply, that's the name her family called her. That was her given name. We never, ever referred to that name. No. Ah. That was a lot of energy. It was also her given name. And very uncomfortable because her companion was grieving. And this was, in a way, disrespectful. But it was a slam dunk, sure shot, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10-point proof that the information that I was getting was relevant. It was a way for that connection to be solidified, that I was hearing accurately from the spirit, non-corporeal realm, to be able to address this person's issues. And the only way I was going to get that was to trust, to have a little patience, a little courage. And the other one that goes along with that is strength. So those issues that I was concerned about, ego, how am I going to look? I don't have any respect for this person. I'm being callous. I'm not paying any attention. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing. I am, in some way, shape, or form, being mean. But the upshot was that when she opened up and she accepted that information, there was this tremendous, tremendous feeling, and I've had it before with my grandmother, of this pink energy, this pink, it's just like all of a sudden you have this very intense warmth, and there's a pink color to it, and it came rushing into me, and I'm assuming, I don't know, but it went rushing into her, because that's where it was supposed to go. It was her companion, her friend, her special person, who was able to come through, because that was the moment she cracked the shell of grief, of discomfort, of despair. That blocks us when we go through these moments of losing something, someone. We have this little shell that comes up, and it's very real, and it hurts, and it makes us numb. And so we block things that might be important because we're going through that process. So in order for that spirit element to make an impression and to get the information through, this had to be cracked. And the third time was a charm, because the third time she was so irritated that I kept persisting. And I was like, oh gosh, no, please. But that's what it's like. That's what it's like when you're first getting these impressions, when you're first learning, you're first accepting, you're first trying, you're first awakening and opening to your gifts, to your abilities, to your knowledge, to your assets, your talents. You have to test them out. And you do have to fall flat on your face sometimes, but not as often as you would think. Another time, and this is at Weston. I do a lot of readings there just off the cuff. Just, you know, people come up and say something and I'll give them some information. This particular time, a mom and her daughter came up and they asked something about a cat. I said, well, and I gave the information. I said, it's a white cat and this is, you know, something's going to happen and this is what I see. And they said, oh, they were disappointed. They said, we don't have a white cat. I said, I'm sorry. But I don't get anything except that this is for a white cat. So I must be picking up, you know, sometimes you can pick up somebody else who's standing right there too, and their information is overpowering, a little bit heavier, a little bit more essential. They need an answer. And so they kind of, it just overshadows. So I thought, well, I must have picked up the energy of somebody in another room or in another, you know, another table, whatever, just close by. And at that point, that was it. You know, I didn't see him. The next year, the mom and daughter came up to me. Said, remember the reading you did for us about our cat? Oh, kind of. Remember, you know, we told you we had, our cat was yellow. Yeah, I had the wrong cat. Oh, no. You had the right cat. Our cat turned white. Oh, really? Really? I was absolutely blown away. Wow. Aha. And then some. Their cat turned white. It didn't seem to be a health issue. It just, that was, you know, for the cat. And I was always curious. I still am curious. Did the cat do that because I said it was going to, or because, you know, it made it happen? You know, that Matrix thing. Asking about the cookie in the cookie jar when the cookie jar breaks. Things like that, though, they're going on all the time. Sometimes we get to hear or see the result. The dots connect. And other times we don't. I was fine. I knew if I had the information wrong, it was wrong. I gave him what I had. I gave him what I felt was the information that resonated. And that's the best I could do. So some of this stuff, when we get information, it isn't about the proof, although it comes in really handy, because you have to have some way, shape, or form to validate, to replicate, to in some way authenticate the information that you get. All right? You can't just go around willy-nilly and, well, I never got an information. I never got any proof. Yeah, so I'm There will be ways that you can get feedback. And this is one of them a year later. So the patience comes in. It will play out in the way that it needs to play out. And trust. But those are the things I'm working on right now, because those words were given to me. Those little things, those little pointers. And I remember when I had my first out-of-body experience that was with a shaman, that was right after I had gotten the channeling and working with the nightlight. I went because I wanted to get a clear line on what I was doing. And I also had from this spirit plane, from my guides, they said, you're going to do this and we were going to walk you through it. And they were doing that with my aunt when she would hypnotize me, and they would speak to me through her and through me. It was just kind of a weird dynamic. But the information comes through me, through her, and then it happens. And that's when I got this incredible, like they call it Diksha, Shaktipat, I think is another word for it, illumination. But a moment of transcendence. They told me, we're going to count to two. So I tell my aunt, count to two. And I mean, I'm hypnotized, kind of, in a way that I'm stepping aside, but I'm still present. And so she's going to count to two. And they're saying, we're going to show you. Basically, it was a way of, we're going to take you home. Or we're going to show you home. I'm like, okay, you're going to count to two. And see, all the time this is happening, it's like you think 10, 20 times faster. All of a sudden, this stuff is just there. That's why I call it a download. They give you information and then you process it in a way that doesn't make sense in our linear concept. And so I'm receptive. I'm okay. You count to two. I'm not going anywhere. The minute my aunt said one, I was gone. I was like, whoa. Everything was, I was like butter. That's the only way I can, there is no way I can put words that make any sense to how extraordinarily fantastic it felt to be free and yet connected, but connected not to anything physical, just like anywhere, allwhere, no time, all time, warm, comfortable, secure, unfettered. Awesome. I have a friend who hates that word. Sorry. It was just like, oh, wow. Then she said two. Oh, crud. I knew two was the comeback word. That's the, they got to come back. Because if I had continued, no way, no way would I come back. But I internally knew that there was a point where the psyche splits. Didn't want to make that split. I had to come back to the body. So that was out of body. Okay, that was one, out of body with the guides. The guides took me to another, this is another way of doing it, with a shaman. And then they don't tell you in advance what they're doing. They just give you little exercises, you know, oh, we're going to count to two. Yeah. Well, you couldn't have explained to me how that was going to work. So that was perfect. Anyway, so we count to two and had that extraordinary experience. As soon as she said two, I knew, okay, I came back in. But it was the fact that it happened on one. They told me we're going to count to two. And the minute one came out of her mouth, it was like, gone, gone. How do you do that to somebody? I don't know. No drugs. You know, there's nothing there. There's no caffeine. I wasn't doing any coffee. You know, before I had to make sure I was, it's just water, everything very clean, and making sure that I didn't eat too much, the whole nine yards, making sure everything was just a real, for the most part, a clear and open channel. So, when we went to the shaman, it was a bit of a disconnect because it took about 20 minutes before we got into this. 20 minutes of just kind of, you know, listening and being prepared. My girlfriend is with me because I wanted to make sure I didn't feel in any way, shape, or form uncomfortable in an unfamiliar situation with an unfamiliar person. And one moment, I was sitting there on the couch next to her. And the next moment, if I were to say where I was, it'd be up past the ceiling. But what I saw out of my body from that vantage point was something about the size of an egg. The entire place was black, pitch, solid, liquid, black. And then there was this little thing that was probably a multicolored light with a white light around it, egg shaped and the size of an egg. And that was it. That was me. I knew that was me. But at that time, I also got my seven blocks, the things I was working on. I'll tell you, one of them was patience. The rest are my information. I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget. But that was part of it, was that, again, getting me outside the box, outside the physical, reminding me, okay, guess what? And they can do that. That's fast. It's like an NDE, a near-death experience, or an out-of-body experience. But you have others who are holding your hand there at the time that you're more aware of, because they told me, okay, they were facilitating. And the other time I went out of body, this was in 1987. I was meditating, laying on my bed, meditating with my cat. The cat would always meditate with me. And at one moment, I just all, it was like all, everything shifted. All of a sudden, part of me was on the ceiling. I could see the body on the bed. And then another part of me was a beautiful yellow ball of light, like about a basketball size sun of light. I could see the color. I could see the shape. From that ball of light, I could see my body right beneath me. I was only about maybe 12 inches above the body at that point. And then that other element, that other part of me, the spirit me, which was the spirit body, was up in the corner, looking down. And I thought, oh, wow, this is the Trinity. This is the three. I am three. I am me. I am. Oh, my. What am I? All those things. It was another extraordinary moment. But so from these places, you get different perspectives. So we're going to come back. I'm going to take a break here. Come back and I'll tell you the most recent encounter I'm in my body, all right? So that's part, that's there. But it's another one of those things as a reminder that we have these constant companions and constant overseers, guardians, guides, helpers, reminding us there's so much more here than what you see. All right? Back in a few. Conscious Living and Power Radio.
Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Kids have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you X-ray vision. It's nuts. And I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my 4-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
One small step for man, lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakey frontside ollie with a twist? I look him in the eye and say, it can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt.
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why isn't 11 pronounced 21?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to help end poverty.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. A lot of stuff going on right now. It's this time of year when people talk about ghosts. Well, the thing about ghosts is they're out 24/7, okay? Just because we talk about them at a certain time doesn't mean that they're not active any other time. And if you live in a place that's haunted, a town that's known for all sorts of haunted houses and buildings, then you get a different perspective on that kind of thing. And I think it's really funny we're saying, are there ghosts? Do they exist? And if you read the multitudes of experiences from people all over the world who've had encounters, and yet I still read things about, and from very nice, legitimate, should I say, sources, that we have no proof. Well, okay, fine. Maybe there's no proof, but there are ghosts. So there. And there are also spirit guides and guardian angels and animals who can see these things and can tell you, guess what? There's somebody in the house. And if you've done any research or reading on your own about out-of-body experiences and some of the things that people have reported in terms of shamanic encounters, where they have seen a full-blown figure of the person who is still alive manifest in front of them to give them information, you might have a better concept of how we work within and without these constructs that we have that say everything is concrete, that say that only the physical element exists. We're multidimensional. And once we start working with that and becoming aware of that, then we have a lot more freedom and flexibility to expand and connect the dots of that awareness. I remember when I had my wisdom teeth out, I was about 14, 13, 14, somewhere in there. And I saw the doctor taking the teeth out. I saw inside my mouth, I saw the blood. I'm looking over his shoulder, watching. Now, I didn't realize that until I came out to the car. And I'm talking to my mom about, you know, how'd everything go? And I realized, oh my gosh, I remember looking over the doctor's shoulder at my teeth and watching. I was out of my body. Now, I'd done that in dreams, but that was the first time I had done that, that I remembered during a daytime event. And so at that point, I knew that these things were real and that we had a different kind of awareness available at some time, you know, and I couldn't sit there and say, okay, I want to do this now. But it gave me a different perspective. And then I'd also had experience with other angels, ghosts, guides, non-corporeals. So those things weren't out of my awareness. So lately, I think people are becoming more comfortable talking about this, these kinds of experiences, and sharing their own, more importantly, saying, yes, this has happened to me. That makes a big difference. There's a less amount of less resistance that allows people to feel more comfortable in their own skin. We went recently to on a vacation just to get away for a little while in a place I'm comfortable, a place I'm familiar with. The middle of the night, I was sleeping on the couch. I'd fallen asleep, so Andy's in the other room, my husband. And I'm the dogs, they're not there. They're one's further away on the other side of the room, and the other one is in the bedroom with my husband. And I'm just so exhausted. And I have my arm over my face. Usually I don't sleep that. That's not ever anything I do. But my arm is over my eyes here on the couch, draped over my eyes. So it's covering my face. And at that point, I feel something on my arm. And it's like this little soft pressure, you know, rub something rubbing my arm. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like just, you know, just kind of flicking across the top of the arm. Okay, it's Andy. He wants something. I don't know what. I don't know why he's waking me up, but he wants something. Must be important. So I move the arm. When I move my arm, he is shining a flashlight in my eyes. I am annoyed. He's shining up. Why is he shining a flashlight in my eyes? He knows I'm asleep. He knows this is annoying. It's going to blind me. I am getting irritated. The minute that happens, that light shining in my eyes, I'm starting to focus. There's a skylight above me. That's the moon. And all of a sudden, what I was feeling standing beside me isn't there. There's no Andy. There's nobody there. It's empty. And there's the moon above me, blinding me through the skylight. And at this point, I've got a clue. All right. So somebody woke me up. I wouldn't have done that. I would have slept right through it. I had to move my arm to see the moon shining, blinding me through the skylight. So I ask, why? What was the purpose? And this is what I got. There's magic in the moonlight. You don't want to sleep through it. That is my guide. Those are the ways that we are connected to others around us in spirit form. Now, if you connect the dots a little further, I could even say it was a guardian angel, because that was like a feather that I felt brush against me. A big feather, but a feather, the way that it brushed against my arm to get me to move my arm so I could be blinded by the moonlight. This is a song. Okay. But with that element, there was another element. When I came home on my way to work, the dog was laying by the front door, blocking my way. And I got this little message, a telepathic message that said, be careful. Now, she's done this before. And I thought, okay, I'm not sure what to be careful about. I walk down the stairs. On the third stair, my shoe catches and I almost fall. But there was something about it that was different. And so I just did like a hop step and was just fine. But I had changed my step, going a little slower instead of going at a regular pace down the stairs. I was concerned and like, be careful. So I was thinking, and whether that made me trip, I don't believe so. It made me more aware. And so I was able to catch myself. That's how I view it. But I thought it was interesting that there are more prompts at this point in my life, more connections, more opportunities to be plugged in and attuned. And of course, the nightlight, as I'm doing this, the nightlight is blinking, interactive, engaged. When I go to sleep, again, the nightlight stays off. It doesn't want to waste the energy. And it is not a nightlight. It's a communication tool. We've upgraded now. A communication tool. It's electric, and yet it isn't. And I've given up trying to make it work for anybody else. It's not anybody else's thing. It's my thing. At first I thought, when the nightlight started blinking and flickering and all that, that if I didn't tell somebody, if I didn't share it, it might be selfish. And then it was more or less a, is it going to stop? Will it continue? What am I supposed to do with it? It's just a blinking light. And some people would think it was a ghost. Well, it could be. It isn't for me. It's a communication tool. It's a little broadcast signal from beyond, from one who has a non-corporeal presence. It's kind of cool. And yet, there's really not much to it. It's a blinking light. And no, it doesn't do the little, you know, two for yes, three for no. It doesn't do that. It's like, oh, please. You're telepathic. Get over it. Just listen. It talks. Well, you have to tune in, and you have to be willing to train yourself. At least from my experience, that's what I had to do, because I wasn't used to communicating like that. So that's how I began the whole thing, by channeling, learning to channel. At first, when I would get this information and I sat down and I would do automatic writing, it was so fast. I thought, oh man, this isn't going to make sense. And plus, I'm making all sorts of typos. I said, forget the typos. Just type. You'll figure it out later. Just put it down. Get it on. And so I was putting it on the keyboard and trying to make sure I got all the ideas and all the information down. I'd go back and I'd read it. I'm like, whoa, I don't think that. This is something different. Something different than what I think. It's telling me information I wouldn't have. Wow. So it was that ability to kind of follow along and give it time to see if any of it made sense, to see if I was able to interpret or reveal or allow the information that I had no contact with to come through. And it's like that thing with Priscilla. They gave me the information, but I had to deliver it. And I had to allow the person who was receiving it to respond in a way that worked for them. I'm not sure they would have given it to me one more time. I think they knew what was supposed to happen. And the third time was the one that she was needing to hear to crack the code. That's the way our spirit guides work with us. They give us opportunities. And they kind of lead us along and say, okay, are you paying attention? Here's one. Oh, I didn't hear that. No. It was kind of that white noise, so it made me think I heard something. I just imagined it. And then the second time, here's two. Whoa. Yeah, that is kind of different. It isn't blending in the way I thought it would. It's just a little bit more pronounced. And fortunately, they're patient. Here's three. Wendy. Whoa. Now I didn't do that. And sometimes that's all it is. It'll be one word. But it will be a word that makes sense to you. A word that has your imprint on it. And then where you go from there is up to you, because it's a conscious choice at that point to disconnect and disengage and deny. It's a conscious choice because you've had three opportunities to connect your dots. And working with people who have ghosts, which seems to happen more this time of year, I have learned that some people do not want to lose their ghosts. The ghosts, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, are part of life. They're part of living, a part of learning, a part of expanding. They're part of the equation. Yes, sometimes you can make them go away. They're temporary. But others are long-term residents. And you really have to have your game on before you go messing with them. You really have to know what you're doing, because they can outlast you. And they can make life difficult. And of course, there are people who say, they're not real. We don't have any proof. You know when your house is haunted. You know when you're dealing with a ghost. And you may not be able to prove it to somebody else. But if you believe that you are uncomfortable and this is unnatural, and this is making you feel like things aren't supposed to be the way they are. In other words, that you're in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Then you need to take action. Because it's your responsibility at that point to keep yourself safe. What I have learned is that some people have a higher tolerance. They can be in a space that other people will find completely and totally uncomfortable and inhospitable. But the people who like that space like the rush. They like that discomfort. They like the chaos. They like the turmoil. It makes them feel alive. I can't take that away from them. Nor am I supposed to. It's up to them. So even when somebody with very good credentials goes in to clear a space, and there's someone there who's allowing and being receptive and inviting the elements into that space, they will stay with that person. Because that is the key, the open window. And we all have these elements around us. Whether we engage them or not is a completely individual thing. But we talk about it more this time of year because it's okay. It's an opportunity. It's a window. But I guess my point is, it's happening 24/7 somewhere on our planet, in our world, in our reality. And the sooner we come to terms with the fact that this is a natural part of our conscious evolution, of allowing this other part of us that exists somewhere up on the ceiling or as a ball of light, this other part of who we are, this larger part of each and every one of us, then we will collectively ascend. And that does not mean we're going to go up on some cloud. Well, it might. I was in the ceiling. Maybe the cloud was the next level. It means we'll have a better appreciation for all of the others among us who are a part of this experience, this learning curve, this growth, this expansion to becoming more psychically attuned. We are evolving. And that's the cool thing about this. It happens differently for each and every one, but it is happening. And that's why I do all these interviews. It's why I try to connect with different ways of thinking, of believing, ways that are outside the box and that we have no proof for, but we have a lot of experiences. And that's how it happens. Once you've had the experience, it changes you. And then you can start learning. Then you can start becoming, you can start growing, expanding. You can start setting limits and boundaries, saying, no, I believe this. This is real. It's happened for me. I'm not going to just talk and say, well, what if? I'm going to say, wow, I experienced that. I saw it. I felt it. And that's why people go to places that are haunted if they haven't experienced a ghost. The curiosity. What if? It doesn't mean you're always going to get the encounter. Usually you get the encounter when you least expect it. When you go to a place you didn't know was haunted. And then, oh, surprise. That happened when we were redoing a duplex. We moved in. Had no idea. It was a great opportunity. They were like, you know, they'd sold it for a very good price. They were moving and had changed their lifestyle and it had been a rental property and they decided they were moving on. So they were no longer going to have that property. And so we got it for a very good price. We moved in and things started happening. I called my husband and I asked, okay, did you come home for lunch? I had been gone for 10 minutes. I came back and the doors were open. They're magnetic. And so they're little glass doors for the TV entertainment center. And they were out like about, oh, maybe 3 or 4 inches, both equally aligned out. They had been opened. Very neat and tidy. No, he hadn't come home for lunch. No, he hadn't been in the house. And the house was locked, so nobody else had either. When we went on vacation, the cat stayed in the corner. It was a split level, right in the corner, and lost about 5 pounds of hair. Didn't go anywhere else in the house when we were gone. That's unusual. And then another thing happened. The bookshelf fell off the wall. Hit me on the head, thank you. But it didn't break this lovely glass pickle jar. Pickle jar hit the floor, didn't break it. I was glad. It was his family heirloom. But then when I woke up in the middle of the night, thinking I had forgotten how to breathe, because I'm going, choking. What the heck? So I prop my pillow up. I must be forgetting how to breathe. This is the logic that goes into something that makes absolutely no sense, and you can't figure out why. Because if you go there, it means something that you haven't been able to, in some way, shape, or form, validate, incorporate, integrate into your core reality. But when I woke up for the third or fourth time, I knew something was happening. And then the time I woke up that changed everything, I woke up, something was making my voice work. And I thought, you know what? This sounds like a ghost. If a ghost were to make noise, that's what it would sound like. This is in me. All right. I'm leaving out a little bit. But at that point, then we started doing some, asking some questions. What happened here? The guy had committed suicide. He was meticulous. Somebody else had been into his property and in the house and said everything that he had, a neighbor who knew him and was friends with him, everything he had was always imperfect, like in the closet, inch between each hanger. He was meticulous. He was very unhappy, and he was trying to get help because I was available. He could get to me. He was stuck. He thought he was going to die and it was all over. Surprise! It wasn't. But I learned not to be afraid. And I learned that there are other things going on here we don't always have explanations for. And just because we don't have an explanation doesn't mean it isn't legit and there isn't something to it. So, when that happens for you and you have this thing that doesn't make any sense and it isn't explainable, but you know you've experienced it, trust yourself. Have the strength to stand with it, sit with it, the patience to know that it's going to be okay and that the answers you need will come when you're ready. And then the courage to know everybody else goes through this in their own way. Maybe not at the same time, and maybe not even in this lifetime. But we all have challenges. And for me, I focus on this stuff because I find it so incredibly fascinating. And I do have help. And that nightlight is with me 24/7, whether I see it or not. That energy is part of my experience. I hope you have something just as delightful that will keep you company and keep you curious and keep you wondering, what else is there? Because this lifetime is a chance to explore, to grow, to learn, to evolve, and maybe have some fun at the same time. So there it is. Just me, traveling, searching, exploring, having fun, connecting dots, and knowing there is a whole lot more here that we can even begin to fathom. So start where you are and see if anything calls you, says, hello. Are you paying attention? You'll find something. And you can either share it or not. But I would suggest breaking through the denial sooner than later. Because they do get a little persistent. And they do get a little more urgent. And they do they challenge you to expand and to understand it's life and it goes on. All right? It goes on with and without a body. How cool is that? Hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate your time. Check out the shows I do at Wendy's Coffee House. I've got some really, really fun shows. Just, I mean, you know, maybe fun is relative because it's not all comedy, but it is about being curious and expanding what we think is real to that other dimension of the unreal that's just as present. How's that? See ya.